Chapter 5. A couple of days later, Allison settled in behind her desk and stretched, a slight smile on her face. Both her main magical team and Jerry's team wouldn't work any jobs for a few days. Sometimes she liked to let the company have a week or two to breathe, not a true vacation, merely time to train and relax between lizard men poachers and corporate assassins, let alone crazy potions of mass destruction. She had asked Ava to deflect major jobs for the next week or two, subject to the administrative assistant's personal judgment. The Englishwoman was often better at understanding what was best for the company than even the boss was.
I might as well get this over with,
she scowled at her phone. After her conversation with Mason on the weekend, there was something she wanted to confirm, and a simple phone call should accomplish that. Rather than waste any more time worrying about it, she dialed her father.
Is something wrong?
James answered with a rumble.
No, she laughed. I really need to call you more often simply to chat so you don't always think there's trouble.
It's not that. But you know, a lot of shit's happened over the last couple of months to both of us. Brownstone luck.
I thought I'd let you know I met Mason's parents last Saturday,
Allison explained.
You're partially responsible for pushing things this way, so I thought I'd talk to you about it first, rather than Mom.
Good,
he grunted.
Were they assholes? There's no law that says you have to like your boyfriend's parents.
Easy for you to say, considering Mom would probably shoot her parents if she saw them.
She laughed.
And no, they weren't assholes. Not really. I don't think we'll be best friends or anything, but they don't seem to have much against me, other than some mild concern about my rough line of work. They were more interested in things like kids.
Kids?
He scoffed.
It'll be a while. You're barely out of school.
Well, sure, it'll be a while, but I'm not barely out of school. Sometimes I still think
that I see you as that teenage girl who brought me my missing dog,
James completed.
Yeah, just saying.
Anyway, I did say I didn't envision me having kids for a while.
She exhaled a satisfied sigh.
But the point is, it went off fine for the most part, and I wanted to make sure you and Mom knew about it. I let it sit for a few days in case they were only pretending to be nice, but everything seems stable. I don't have much else I wanted to tell you, so I'll let you go. I know how much you hate chit-chatting on the phone.
Wait,
he said quickly.
She straightened, and her heart now pounded as she worried her father wasn't as satisfied with Mason as she believed.
What? I was curious about something. I was talking to Trey the other day. And he mentioned how their ultimate problems in Vegas have mostly gone away since we did our thing during my road trip.
The drug ultimate could be used to enhance magical power, but heavy side effects accompanied its usage, including potential physical and mental transformations. It had appeared on the underworld's radar in the last several months. Various clues had pointed to Texas initially, but the government still struggled for viable intel. Its source remained unknown, with PDA, DEA, and FBI investigations dead-ending at the basic suppliers. Some people suspected a foreign plot, either Orisaran or Earth-based.
That's good to hear, Allison replied. I doubted it would spread into LA because of you, but it's great that you guys cut it off in Vegas. The last thing this country needs is some weird magic-enhancing drug that messes with people.
Have you seen any up there?
James asked with something approaching concern in the grinding bass of his voice.
Of all the strange things I've had to deal with in the last 6 months, Ultimate hasn't been one of them, and I have solid underworld and law enforcement contacts up here. She chuckled. Tahir also has all kinds of special things crawling around the net looking for trouble. If there was Ultimate being used or dealt, I think I'd know. Why do you ask?
No big reason,
he grunted.
I only want to make sure you don't have extra bullshit to deal with. I know things are a lot easier than when you first moved up there, but now you have those drow sniffing around too. I hoped that dealing with the fucking dark wizards would have made it vacation time for you, but it's not like anyone wants to let you rest.
The drow situation is under control, she explained. I've met with Rosilla several times at least, and she's not interested in taking another shot at me, and
she sighed.
I don't know how to explain it. We're not friends, but she's very interested in gaining my support one way or another, so she's done a lot to keep me aware of drow movements and help me.
And you're sure she's not playing you?
Allison laughed. I assume so.
Huh?
I assume she's playing me on some level. I won't force her under truth spells every time because it'd be insulting. And I think she's well past the point where she would directly lie to me. But don't get me wrong. I understand that any help she gives me is provided because she thinks she'll get something out of it long term, whether it's her as the new queen, or even some weird situation where I'm the new queen dispensing favors to her.
I'm the last man to suggest something like this, but have you thought about reaching out to the other princesses? Diplomacy shit and all that?
James almost growled the last sentence. Allison sighed. Yeah, I have, but I'd rather not. The more I get involved with the Drow princesses, the more swept up I'll be in all this stuff. So far, the only person who has attacked me is Rizilla. Maybe the fact that I didn't storm over to Orisaran after that might help convince the others I'm not all that interested in being queen and keep them from messing with me.
If you need my help, ask. I don't give a shit about who becomes Drow queen, but if you need me to beat someone down, I will. It's not like I haven't done it before.
She snorted. That's not even an option. No offense, Dad, but I think the last thing the Drow need right now is you getting involved again. Don't worry about it. If they try anything again, I'll take care of it. If we're lucky, no one will bother me for years. He scoffed.
Brownstones aren't that lucky.
Sonya yawned loudly as she tapped her keyboard. She'd spent most of the day at Brownstone Security helping Tahir reinforce some of the system defenses, and most of the night exploring some of the new battle drone racecourses. Her day job kept her from putting as much time into her hobby as she would have liked, but it wasn't like she would complain to Tahir and Allison about giving her a well-paying job and a free apprenticeship because she wanted to play more. Occasionally, she thought about becoming a pro racer, but that seemed silly given all her other talents and training. The girl might not always show it, but she woke up every day grateful for the luck that brought Tahir, Hannah, and Allison into her life. When she had lived alone, she'd thought she was satisfied, or more accurately, she'd convinced herself of that. She had believed she didn't need anyone, let alone the father who had abandoned her to her abusive mother. That mindset had simply ignored all the times she went to sleep in the old empty apartment alone, a void in her soul. She might not be comfortable around people, but she still needed them. An alert popped up on her screen and she frowned. She leaned forward. It was an old honeypot she'd set up on servers she used to tinker with when she still lived in the apartment. Since she'd moved in with Allison and started at Brownstone Security, Tahir had provided her with new servers and systems to practice her hacking and infomancy skills, servers he'd hardened himself. She'd maintained the older systems mostly out of nostalgia. Who would care about hacking her old systems? There had never been anything of value there. Sonya's wand remained slotted into her keyboard, which allowed her magic if she needed it, but pride fueled a conventional attempt. Using infomancy against a non-magical hacker was an admission of inferiority. And while she still had a long way to go, she was far better than her age might suggest. Her mouth curled into a grin as her fingers danced across the keyboard. Whoever you are, I'll give you credit. You couldn't have found that server merely by scanning at random. I made a mistake somewhere and you probably followed it, but now it's nothing but a trap for fools. Behind a keyboard, all the fear, worry, and uncertainty that seemed to define her melted away. Confidence filled her soul, and she never felt the need to withdraw into herself. She might still be figuring out where she fit in the real world, but online, she was as much as a warrior princess as Allison. Seriously? Sonya rolled her eyes. You are so lame. I can't believe you've fallen for such an obvious trap. She entered a few commands. It was time to trace the attacker and launch a counterattack. Nothing serious, of course. Simply a little poke in the eye. A hacker's way to say hello and show them who they had messed with. A huge smirk took over her face as she continued to track her opponent. They weren't a total loser. The trail led her through proxy servers all over the world. This probably wasn't some script kiddie sitting in their room. Then again, she was a kid sitting in her room. You're not getting... Sonya narrowed her eyes and gritted her teeth. The trace became erratic and jumped randomly with each individual node identified. She'd seen this before, as she'd used the exact defense on display herself. Another infomancer, she muttered, then snorted. Fine, man. If you want to go magic, let's go magic. I'll pants you, and then you'll be sorry. She clicked her mouse on a series of stored enchantment scripts, and her grin returned. Her mentor was one of the best infomancers in the country. There was no way some random fool on the net would win against her. A window popped up, filled with glyphs. She closed her eyes and whispered a few additional incantations. Tahir could rely almost entirely on the incantation scripts, but she still needed to master several magical energy conservation techniques before she could successfully accomplish the same trick for every spell. Her trace stabilized and accelerated, and the jump from proxy to proxy now became more reasonable. "I have you, man," Sonya laughed. "I'm about to own you. If only you knew who was doing it to you, you would be so embarrassed. But it's not like I'm stupid enough to send a picture." Several alarm windows appeared. Her opponent now attempted something very similar. She snorted and executed another spell script. This one tried to deceive in a more subtle way. She wanted to lead her opponent to a dead end at the Department of Defense, which might garner him a little extra attention and scare him. People shouldn't fool around with hacking if they weren't prepared for the occasional angry government agent knocking on their door. Her smile faded. A bar in the corner of her screen filled slowly with white. The monitoring spell helped her determine how close an infomancy-based trace might be to reaching her system. She had no idea if the other infomancer attempted a more direct scrying spell, but didn't worry about it at all. Allison had so many wards on her house that King Orisaren himself probably couldn't peer inside without difficulty. "You won't win against me, man, so give it up." Sonya entered a few additional commands before she cast another spell to reinforce her trace from a different direction. Sweat beaded on her forehead. The mental and magical concentration proved taxing. "Tahir would have already found your lame ass and defeated you, but I'll still win this. Wait and see. My multiplex filter is something you've probably never even seen," she snorted. "This won't end with a poke now. I'll have to bloody your nose a little for being so stubborn." Her monitoring bar suddenly filled up to the top. "What the?" Her eyes widened. "No way!" She hastily entered a command to sever her connection. Sometimes she lost, and that was embarrassing. But sticking around to have her butt kicked even harder was where things became stupid. The computer screen turned black, and her heart pounded. Her breathing turned ragged, and she wondered if she should tell Allison. After all, the infomancer might not have complete access to the home. But he had successfully traced her to the location. Then again, it wasn't as if Allison's address was a national secret. The girl swallowed as a single letter popped up on the screen. I. Period. A few deep breaths later, she nibbled on her lip and typed her response.
I what?
I'm not your enemy.
She snorted. You're breaking into my system, man. Maybe you're not my enemy, but that's rude.
You didn't lock the doors properly,
the hacker responded.
Is it really so bad I decided to check what's inside?
Sonya narrowed her eyes. Screw you, man.
That doesn't change the truth. It was almost too tempting to type out, do you know who I work for? But she stopped herself.
This wasn't Brownstone security business. She'd screwed up and let some punk infomancer breach her defenses and trace her. It was her mess and she needed to clean it up.
You got lucky, she responded. Don't let it go to your head. I'll beat your ass next time, man.
Do you remember the giraffe you used to love? You won it in a claw machine at the beach when you were 7 years old. You used to love that giraffe. You slept with it every night until you lost it. Left it behind at a restaurant. Your father wanted to go back for it, but your mother said no. She said you needed to learn a lesson about taking care of your things, and by the time he did go back to check on it, they'd already given it away.
She swallowed, her heart now thundering.
How do you know that? She responded. Who are you?
A friend. If you're interested in learning more, you can send an encrypted message to the following address. But for now, I'm going. You might not be who I think you are, and we both need to be careful.
Sonya stared at the address and shook her head. A moment later, she noticed her various monitoring spells indicated that they were no longer connected. She stood slowly and backed away from her computer until she fell onto her bed. The hacker's anecdote had been true, as far as she could remember. She did have a stuffed giraffe she loved and had named him Gino. The loss of the toy was one of the first times in life when she understood what it could feel like to lose something or someone you cared about. But she only vaguely remembered her parents discussing it. Mostly, she remembered the crying. She took several deep breaths as she tried to bring her heart under control. No one knew about that giraffe. She slept with it at home, but she never talked about it at school. For some reason, she'd convinced herself that if any of the other kids knew about Gino, they'd steal him. She'd even half-convinced herself that one of those kids went to the restaurant and claimed the toy was his. Only two people knew about that giraffe, her mother and father, and only one of them had any real possibility of being alive. The girl sat up and stared at her computer. Her father was an infomancer. He'd always been halfway decent, but her mother's disdain for magic had kept him from training her too much, and there was only so much he could accomplish before her magic manifested. Sonia had assumed he was dead. He'd not always interacted with the nicest of people. The idea of some mobster killing him after he'd crossed him in some way was far too plausible. She wasn't even sure how surprised or saddened she had been when he had disappeared, rather than being resigned to the near-certain inevitability of such an end. There was only so much pity she could spare for him. She'd been left behind to suffer at the hands of her mother, after all.
"He could have told someone else the story," she whispered. "Or Mom did, and they're using it to get to me. They probably don't even care about me. This is probably someone trying to get to Allison."
She rolled onto her side. "Maybe I should tell her, but if this is only Dad, maybe I should take care of everything myself. Allison, Tahir, and Hannah have already done a lot for me. They shouldn't have to worry about my messed up family." She groaned, grabbed her pillow, and clutched it tightly against her chest. The corners of her eyes glistened. Her old life was supposed to be dead and buried. She lived with the Dark Princess now and was trained by Tahir. Even if she didn't know for certain where her future would take her, it was supposed to be far away from the old apartment and the dark memories of two people who didn't deserve to be called parents. Tears seeped from her eyes.
"It's not fair," she sobbed. "It's not fair."